Blog Talk Radio.
Alaska Patriot Network. This is Dahl. I am your host. We'll be joined by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show. You can find that right here at Blog Talk Radio, Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. Tonight is January 6, 2023, our first show of the year. So welcome. Thank you for joining us. So it's Friday night. We could use a little tunes to kick off the show while Lori Ann and I get settled into our respective seats here. So mix yourself a drink, put the log on the fire, let the dog in, and get settled in because we have a great show for you.
Doctor says my blood pressure's down, and it's been that way since you skipped town. And I know you thought you're leaving would make me feel like screaming, but baby, I ain't even stressing out. I bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but girl, I ain't even getting mad. I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, and it's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. Used to have these headaches all day long, but it's disappeared since you've been gone. And that girl next door, she sees me, loves how I'm taking it easy, blows kisses at me while I'm on my lawn. Bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but I've been getting luckier than that. I've been getting, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. I've been getting laid back, busy getting laid back. I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Been gone, I've been getting laid back, busy getting laid back.
tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Well, and we are back. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. So glad you could find us here on Friday night. You know, we have a great show lined up for you all, and there's been so much that's happened in between the last episode and the first episode of 2023. So here we are, you know, another year, another new beginning, and all kinds of muckery going on. So we're going to address some of that tonight. I really wanted to encourage the listeners to call in tonight. The guest call-in number is 515-602-9722. Again, 515-602-9722. And then press number 1. And that will raise your hand in the studio switchboard and let us know you want to join the conversation. And, you know, if you feel like you're coming kind of late to the game, or, you know, you just built up the courage to call in, we're always happy to, you know, to whatever we were talking to previously and whatnot. So, once again, that guest call-in number is 515-602-9722. And we do have the chat open, so feel free to join in the chat. We do have Lori Ann here with us, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. You can find that right here at Blog Talk Radio, Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. I'll be there. It's a great show. We have engaging guests. Let me just really bring the heat. I've missed the last couple episodes, so and missed my show and some other shows I co-host on. So I've missed everybody greatly. Lori Ann, welcome in.
Hello, my dear. Happy Friday to you. I have missed you as well. Actually, last Friday I was so bored on Friday night. I was like, oh, my God, you know. So I actually did a show on the fly because I was like, I miss my time with you on Friday nights, and I just like didn't know what to do with myself. But I know that you have been completely inundated. I mean, just like I understand completely why you kind of had to take a step back the last couple of weeks with everything that's been going on in your life, complete and utter chaos. So. You know, I definitely understand, but you were very, very missed, to the point where I did a show at the last minute just to have something to do on a Friday night.
We're living in I'm living in the guest cabin, and well, we're rebuilding the house for those that don't know, and it's like 400 square feet of living space. It's really comfortable. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's beautiful. You know, we built it beautifully enough that it would be, you know, comfortable, but not big enough where guests could get too comfortable for any length of time. But so I had myself and the three dogs, and of course I mentioned the dogs first, I don't know why, but and then the rest of the family and the boys, and we were literally stepping over each other around here. So there was no expectation of silence. And then of course, you know, typhoon and storm system after another blew through, so we were pretty much, you know, either working on the house, you know, or you know, coming in to clean up, eat, and crash on top of each other in here. So it was interesting.
Yeah,
it's but like we got a lot
done.
You
wake up and you know make breakfast or whatever and prepare to get to work, and then after that you're working all day long, and then finally late at night then you're recovering from working and then eating dinner, and then go to sleep, and then, you know, lather, rinse, repeat the next day and the next day and the next day.
Yeah. Well, you know, too, I mean, not to be mundane and boring, but, you know, a lot of my cooking when I have the boys here and stuff is, you know, based on the grill. And when it's blowing literally 99 and above, miles per hour and above, it was blowing so hard my neighbor's wind gauge wasn't even registering it anymore. So grilling was out of the question.
Oh, my God.
So thank goodness. Yeah. So thank goodness for...
Yeah, you sent me screenshots of, like, the wind speeds and stuff around your area, and I was like, you know, are you in that cabin going to, like, you know, is it going to be, like, Wizard of Oz and, like, plop you somewhere here? Because... then you set that stuff down here to Oregon. So I was like expecting you to land in my front yard or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, thank goodness for hurricane strapping. But, you know, I wanted to kick off tonight's show with a discussion on the cost of living and inflation. And, you know, I mean, We hear these economists and these talking heads on TV, you know, talk about GPIs and CPAs and blah, 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 and all these complicated acronyms for this and that and stuff. But what we really know is patriots and Americans and, you know, people around the world that are listening to this broadcast, is that, you know, those fancy terminologies and baseless excuses and warmongering reasoning for the skyrocketing food prices, that doesn't mean anything to the person that is paying for it at the checkout and making concessions and or, you know, resorting to other methods to make ends meet. People are really hurting, Lorianne.
I know. Like, you know, hey, Biden, you know, what, a year ago you were saying that this inflation was just transitory. No, there's no recession. Don't worry. Pat your little head. Get to work. Don't worry. You know, and yet here we are. And it's obvious, you know, and now they're predicting even higher inflation because, of course, the Fed is going to yet again raise interest rates again. And even, Greenspan said, you know, the next interest rate hike is just going to make matters worse. You know, if, you know, they changed the definition of recession so that they could, you know, say, no, we're not quite in a recession. But now they're going to have to redefine recession again if they want to avoid it because, you know, we're in it and it's not getting any better. The job market isn't going to get any better. Amazon is laying off like 18,000 people, you know, in addition to a whole lot of other companies. They're either going to do layoffs or they're having hiring freezes. So we're going to start seeing the unemployment rate that the Biden administration has been bragging about start to climb higher and higher as more and more companies can't afford to have people. And when you don't have people working in their jobs, either – whether, you know, especially in food production and distribution, you know, when you're having to fire or lay off people left and right all across the board, then you're going to see it in your grocery stores. It doesn't matter where you are, you're not going to be immune to feeling the pinch even more when you're going to buy just the most basic stuff. I mean, eggs skyrocketing, milk skyrocket. You know, flour, anything, just to even make, you know, just to cook meals at home. I mean, it's outrageous what's happening. And so 2023 is really looking like it's not going to be a very good year economy-wise unless things miraculously turn around.
Yeah, you know, you're hearing about, you know, people skipping meals, you know, feeding their children and opting out, you know, so that they can afford to buy a more protein-rich diet for their children. Elderly people, you know, that have paid into, you know, Social Security all their lives and were depending on that. And now, you know, between property taxes and all, you know, Medicare being as crappy as it is, and then Social Security, yeah, they did give a cost of living Social Security raise this year, but not much. And, you know, you're looking at these people that have served their country, that are veterans, you know, they've paid their dues to society, and now they're either going hungry or supplementing, you know, their paltry savings with, you know, food bank visits and stuff. And that's not just the elderly. That's a lot of families anymore. And the food banks are really, really feeling the crunch. And it's a sad day. It's a very sad day when people are forced to, make dietary concessions and say, you know, instead of fresh, healthy produce and fresh meat and making my family a healthy meal, I'm forced to eat noodles. Or like the one economist or Biden official said, well, you know, buy ravioli. You know, maybe instead of,
yeah,
you know,
and
a turkey
isn't it
this year,
a sad
you guys should
state
all have
where
ravioli.
You can buy junk food. You could buy junk food cheaper than healthy food. You know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, I can't afford to, you know, buy a couple pounds of hamburger or some eggs or whatever, but I can go and buy, you know, some ding-dongs for, you know, half the price. You know, the junk is still readily available and cheap. And like you're saying, yeah, it's like, and fill up on carbs like pastas and stuff instead of a healthy diet of, you know, good meat and veggies and fruit, fresh fruit, stuff like that. And I'm feeling it. I skip meals, you know. You know, I will skip a meal if it's a choice between me and feeding my dog and my cat. You know, I'm going to feed them before I feed myself. That's how I feel about it, you know, and that's kind of where I'm at. You know, I'm like spending more on, you know, then you got to bring that up too. Like the cost of dog food and cat food, just that has gone up. It's insane. It's insane how those prices have gone up. And so I'm just like, Jesus, you know, I'm spending almost as much on my dog food and cat food as I do myself. It's crazy.
Yeah, I just actually sent you a link to this article from The Guardian, and it was based on a story out of the UK. And they are talking about how people have turned to, specifically the Blue Cross Pet Food Bank in Grimsby, set up in June to help people in the area struggling to feed their pets amid the cost of living crisis. And it's, you know, like you said, people are making these concessions, and a lot of people will, like yourself, you know, say, going without a meal to ensure that your, you know, animals can eat. And, but yeah, we're seeing these, you know, the food banks are running low on food and whatnot, and they're relying upon, you know, the government as well for a lot of their, you know, donations and stuff. They receive money and then they buy food for the food bank and whatnot. So Yeah. It's not just the food, it's the gas to get there. It's the outrageous child care. And this, sadly, I believe, is a partisan problem. This is not a Democrat or a Republican problem. In fact, I think a lot of this problem stems from just too much damn government. And when I say that, I'm saying, you know,
absolutely,
all the shutdowns, all of that, all of the lockdowns, the people losing their jobs because of the scamdemic, the government overreach, the big growth suddenly in the government, and then add on top of that the gross mismanagement of the government all the way through. I have never seen, I mean, if we ran our households like the government is running the government, we'd all be in the poorhouse. Actually, we are, because every time they spend a dime, it costs American taxpayers a dollar. Now, it's not a fact, folks. I'm just, you know, said that, you know, just as a, you know, example. But it's probably $1.25. You know, by the time
and you're right, and people are,
you know,
excuse me, people are hurting right now. You know, our debt is up. Consumer debt is like at 2008 levels. So how they can say this isn't a recession, I have no idea. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous to say that, oh no, we're not in a recession, when we're seeing debt levels as high as they were in 08. We're starting to see delinquencies on mortgages increasing. You know, the statistics are not good. And we're starting to see people put less and less into savings. And, you know, that is just a recipe for disaster. And so, you know, I think right now with, at least in the House, with the Republican majority, they're making it a priority to actually balance the budget and stop this, you know, this debt, this insane debt that we're getting ourselves more and more into and we're paying the price for.
Yeah. And, you know, this is trillions of dollars in debt. And It's sad, because you're thinking of, you know, these families or, you know, households, single households or families, you know, just I say families, but I mean, you know, that includes your dogs or your goldfish or, you know, whatever, your houseplant. You know, people are living, either they're living paycheck to paycheck, or a lot of people are supplementing their, you know, household budget with credit cards right now, because they have still not, you know, been able to find a job.
I'm like literally living off my credit cards right now. You know, it's just because whatever money I actually get in my checking account goes toward only the things that I have to pay directly out of my checking account, which is my mortgage, my car insurance, for example, and like everything else, there's just no money left. And so I have to charge it, you know, so I'm trying to make a little bit more than my minimum payments. But I am definitely charging more than I'm able to pay off. And I'm not the only one. I was just reading an article, an article from, you know, it was like an op-ed, somebody, you know, saying, yeah, last year, you know, I was, you know, my income to debt ratio was this much, but now my, you know, a year later, my income to debt ratio is like, has increased by like $8,000. You know, and so for the average person, that's a lot of money. That's $8,000 at what, like, you know, 22-23% interest. You know, and so it's causing this debt spiral that, you know, is going to be affecting us. I mean, I can go into all kinds of different, you know, things, but, you know, so at the very least, at least I know that my situation, that I am not alone. I am one of millions of people that are in the same boat where they're just not able to, their income is not enough to cover the increase of costs at the grocery store, the costs at the gas pump, the cost of, you know, there's increases across the board with utilities, like, you know, your electricity, your gas, all of those things going up, even garbage pickups and stuff. I mean, we don't really realize how this affects things when, you know, it's like when even the garbage pickup, you know, your garbage service, they're increasing their rates. You know, my rate went up after the first of the year by like $4. And that doesn't seem like much, but it's just like, so now instead of $50, I'm paying $55. Well, that's an extra $5 that, you know, what else could I be spending that $5 on? You know, that, you know, feeds my dogs and cats for a day, you know?
$5
somewhere.
Well, you see these, you know, now I said it was bipartisan, but, you know, the Democrats touting, you know, oh, we've got minimum wage to $15 an hour and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the rate of inflation is eroding any wage gains. And we're looking at, you know, the number of Americans living paycheck to paycheck is around 63%. And then on top of that, people that have managed to retain any type of 401k or retirement savings and stuff have lost thousands of dollars in that just this year with this regime. And
like if you were getting ready to retire and you've, you know, oh, I'm retirement age, I want to retire, and you've just seen your 401k completely deplete. You know, you might have thought you were okay, you know, a couple of years ago, but now if it's time to retire, no, you've lost thousands upon thousands, unless you've done it pretty smart where you're staying on top of it and you're adjusting, you know, your investments and stuff. But then there's limits on how often you can adjust your investments with your 401k. So it's not like you can change it on a week-to-week basis. You know, a lot of places say only, you know, 2 times a year or something. And so, you know, unless you're staying on top of it, you're losing money in your 401k, your IRAs, all of your retirement investments. And then everybody cheers for this, you know, small little, like, what is it, like, equate to like $20 or $40 a month or something for your Social Security. And it's just like, what? You know, and if you had invested that same amount of money for that same length of time with your own, you know, your own investments, you'd be so much better off. You'd be, especially if you bought gold. You know, imagine if 25 years ago or 30 years ago, you started buying gold bullion, and accumulating it over the years, every year investing so much in buying some gold bullion. Imagine how much that would be worth now. You know, it'd be worth a hell of a lot more than your Social Security would be, and probably more, and very likely more than even your 401k or IRA.
Yes. You know, and there's been it's a small percentage of number of people in number, but one of the highest rates of this happening since like 2004, but where people with 401ks are doing hardship withdrawals. And that is another sign of, you know, this inflationary hit that people are taking. And you have people that, you know, are withdrawing money from this and, you know, paying a tax penalty on top of that. I don't know. I'm sure the number payout is different, but are, you know, not that different. But when you look at the money spent withdrawing the fund, you know, taking money out of your 401k plus paying the tax penalty, paying the other penalty, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if it's better to do that or just live on credit cards at that point. Not live on credit cards, but supplement a little bit more. people are just really in a really, really, really tight bind. And it's predatory. And this, you know, not only are we seeing inflation, but at the rate, you know, the rise of it is, it happened at a historically high pace. I mean, there hasn't really been time for people to like catch a breath and go, holy crap, look what happened. And we've discussed the sources of this isn't only inflation. There's other pieces to this puzzle that are causing these food insecurities. And that's kind of what I'm going to call it. It, you know, it's, we've got bird flu. Okay, hello. We've talked about this on your show, my show, different shows in the past. I mean, this is, you know, something we've talked about. You know, the rate of farms and food processing places mysteriously just going up in ashes the last couple of years. The bird flu scenario where one bird gets, you know, a runny beak and they cull 5 million. And when that happens, not only are you seeing, not seeing eggs or, you know, chicken, poultry available at the store, when you do see it, it's an exorbitant price. Highly likely that it didn't even come from America at that point. And let's see, what else can we add on top of that? I mean, it's atrocious, Lorianne. It's just atrocious. And you're paying so much money for this.
Exactly. It is really sad. And you know what? The even sadder part is this has been created. And I don't think accidentally. I think it's deliberate. And it's been deliberate to make, you know, it's the constant thing. Our government continues to make the poor even poorer and the rich even richer. Except for Elon Musk, of course.
Well, look at, look at, for example,
he's lost like,
you know,
200 billion, like, whoa.
You know, allowing you know, foreign entities to buy up US farmland. You know, for example, China. And you know, you're looking at, and the numbers don't sound really high, but you know, if you've got 3% of US farmland is owned by, you know, foreigners, that, and specifically Chinese companies that buy it, that's a concerning thing. And then we also saw China buying the pork farms here in the United States. And it's, I mean, in 2015, well, a while back, it started happening, and they started buying into this. But just recently, you know, they finished their acquisition of Smith. That is, like, seriously an iconic company. It's America's flagship for the food industry, for the pork industry. I mean, they've been around for centuries, literally centuries. And it's... I mean, and nobody said, hey, probably not a good idea, you know, to sell this to China. And Smithfield's Food, you know, they end up having to testify in front of the U.S. Senate Committee on Agriculture back in 2013 on this. But it's interesting because who was it? Oh, Larry Pope, the owner of the, or the CEO, he said that it naturally riled patriots and protectionists. Pope's mother asked him why he sold to communists. Pope also had to defend himself in the local newspaper. These are not Russian communists. They're like Americans. And went as far as saying that xenophobia was to be expected, and anti-Chinese racism in America goes back nearly as far as, well, the holiday ham. I mean, this is how, you know, flippant these CEOs are and these people. You know, yeah, this is an American business and they can sell to whoever they want to, but literally
it shouldn't be a foreign country. It shouldn't be a foreign country. Foreign countries should not own land. China doesn't do that for us. We can go and open up a business in China as an American, but we don't own the land. We're basically leasing it. You know, we can buy the house, but we don't have any rights to any of the property, you know, any of the land, any of the resources, nothing, you know. So they're not reciprocal. If it was reciprocal, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, quite as outrageous. But the simple fact that the Chinese can come here, they can purchase land, they can own the land, and along with like water rights and stuff like that, this is unacceptable. No foreign country should be able to do that here, because they're not United States. They're a foreign country. This is our land. You know, our borders mean the United States of America. This is our territory. And foreign countries, foreign governments are not allowed to buy it. You know, like, why is that concept like so, you know, not talked about in our government when it's a huge deal? I think it's a national security, you know, thing too. And then, you know, Bill Gates just got approved for over 2,000 acres or something in North Dakota, another. And I really seriously wonder if he is in collusion with China so that, you know, between the two of them, whatever farmland China isn't able to purchase for whatever reason doesn't get approved by, you know, the state or whatever, then Bill Gates will come and buy it up and be in collusion with them. I don't think I'm really far off in my theory. And, you know, so let's state it right now that, you know, here today on January 6, 2023, I'm saying this, and 6 months or a year from now, the media starts reporting on a collusion between Bill Gates and China to purchase farmland. Like, you heard it right here, folks. Maybe I'm not crazy after all.
We're in a situation right now where food is poised to become the oil of the 21st century. And, you know, scarcity and demand
and water.
Is...
water, really, because water has everything to do with food. So water is really going to be the new, you know, gold.
Exactly. But, you know, it's a situation ripe for wars, riots and uprising. And we're looking at a situation where the world food economy today, the growth in demand is exceeding the supply. And this is not because the earth cannot produce enough or the earth is sick and cannot produce these. These are man-made concerns.
Oh, yeah, we're overpopulated.
This
all the climate freaks, you know, are trying to say that we just can't feed the earth because we're, you know, exploiting it too much, blah, blah, blah. And it's not that, you know. It's all of this political corruption that's doing it, yeah.
Exactly. So, for example, you know, we're just talking about allowing China to buy these huge, you know, assets in America that are essential American assets. It's essential to the well-being of not even only to the economy, but to the well-being of the humanity that resides within the United States of America. And we're in this situation, this cuckold, you know, per se, where this illegitimate regime that's occupying, you know, Pennsylvania Avenue, well, mostly that mostly the basement in Delaware, but, you know, sometimes Pennsylvania Avenue. They're poking the bear. Well,
remind me to get into that subject, too. Remind me later to get into Biden's absence from the White House on that subject. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But, you know, we're poking the panda bear. And Biden, you know, it's like he's got a screw she, or he's she, so he can screw she. I don't get it, because it's they have this love-hate relationship. I think that, you know, communist she has so much dirt on Biden that Biden, I don't know if the poking the, you know, poking the bear, poking the panda bear or poo bear is really even anything. I mean, there's all this big talk about Taiwan. I mean, I don't want to get onto, you know, South Pacific or, you know, Asian politics right now, but we're in this real tenuous situation with him. And then this, at the same time, this communist owns land in America that is tied historically to food security. I mean, these are some of the things we've got, like we said, the mysterious food, you know, plants burning down, the agricultural land being sold and, well, purchased by people like Xi or the communist and or Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum, you know. Yeah, you got to remember, these people want to depopulate the world, not populate the world. And,
exactly.
You know, Gates, he'll use that land to do not good things. They'll use it to...
Yeah, you know, with Bill Gates,
you know,
it's going to be genetic engineering galore.
Yeah.
Genetic engineering galore.
Yeah, and while all this is happening, people are struggling to make ends meet. And I really was hoping that we would have more callers in to tonight's show to discuss that. And I was just curious how people out there are making the ends meet. I mean, what kind of sacrifices are you making? Day to day or weekly or however it may work, or... You know, do you have some tips, tricks, and, you know, things that you'd like to share with people that could help people's budgets or food stretch a little bit further? Sadly, we're at that, you know, junction in the road where people are making these really tough decisions. I know here in Alaska, you know, with the government overreach and mismanagement of game and fish, the subsistence hunts and fisheries have suffered greatly. And, you know, we had so much mismanagement here in Alaska alone. There's other states I know that where people do a lot of hunting and fishing to, you know, make things, you know, stretch out for their budget and whatnot. I was really hoping to hear from some more people out there. So if you wanted to join the show, you want to chime in on this, the call-in number is 515-602-9722, and then press number 1. I do see we have a caller here in the queue, and we're going to bring you in here in just a second. And then for those who have joined us here in chat, welcome in. Hi, we see you guys. There was a second there where the chat kind of glitched out. Did you notice that, Lorianne?
Yeah, it gave me a message that said it disconnected a couple of times, and I had to reconnect and refresh. Yeah, so there's something kind of funky going on earlier with the chat.
Yeah, so if you're trying to get through to chat or anything like that, and, you know, try again. But I do see the chat is up and going. And we do have a couple callers on hold. I'm going to bring our 509 in first here real quick, and then we're going to bring Cinnamon in. And, keep this discussion going. Welcome in, caller.
Ray, hi.
Christian, thank you for calling
in. Hey, how are you?
How's it going?
I'm going great. I saw the topic of tonight, and I figured that's the perfect thing for me to chime in on because that's been my life the last couple years.
Yeah. So Christian is my cousin, and he is, oh, my gosh, an amazing independent farmer. And I'm going to let Christian tell you guys all a little bit about it. And I hope you're going to tell us about the goats, too, because put up some goat meat, too, this last week or a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been a big journey with the butchering and learning all that and just getting used to putting down these amazing animals that help me out around here and just give me a lot of joy. And it's definitely a process, but it's something I had to do to make sure I could take care of myself and my family. And they are, you feed them grass, so it's not too hard to do.
Yeah. So would you mind sharing, working on, you too are built a new house, a tiny living situation, which is totally beautiful. Kind of tell us what some of your projects to keep going through the harsh winter of Eastern Washington.
Oh man, yeah, our snow came in early, so that was kind of annoying. A couple years in a row, we didn't have snow till Christmas, but we had 2 feet of snow on the ground, which, man, my animals were not happy about. The chickens hadn't left the coop in a couple weeks, and they're finally now venturing out. And I let them forage through my greenhouse to kind of clean up everything that's been grown in there over the season. They're another vital part of the farm out here. They do a lot of the groundwork, so I don't have to weed as much. And goats were not very happy with the snow either. They just don't want to leave their pen or walk around, but the snow's deep, so I understand. It's been really hard keeping their water from going solid, but I have that figured out now. Got lots of extension cords ran around the farm, but everything seems to be happy now, and we're getting above freezing temperatures even during the night currently. So that's brought a little bit of relaxation into my life, and especially with the warm house, I'm feeling a lot better and a lot more confident in things going on out here.
Christian,
yeah,
this is Lorianne. Good to meet you. Not to totally change the subject, but I already like you because, number one, you have the same first name as my grandfather, who grew up in Norway in the fjords. And so you don't raise cattle in the fjords in Norway. You raise goats. So that's the number two reason why I like you.
Yeah, I was blown away to learn that goats were the most commonly raised animal around the world for meat. And just America, we just do cattle, and it's just, unless you have tons of land, it's just not very feasible, and it can be very expensive. And the goats just seem worth their weight in gold for what you get out of them. And they do
and
a lot of work.
Milk, and they make cheese. That's what my grandpa did. You know, they made goat milk, goat butter, goat cheese. Everything was goat.
I
totally get it. They're very versatile animals, and they're very low cost to maintain compared to other livestock. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Even with the high price of grass the past couple of years, I got into goats basically as soon as the price of grass started going through the roof. So I planted a lot of cover crops out here on the farm, and I'm trying to develop more forage area for them. So I don't, at least during the growing season, I don't have to rely on outside sources.
TV is really fun. That's what I call standing there watching your goats. It is so relaxing, and they're so cool looking, and they all have different personalities, and they're easy to watch. And like chickens, I like watching chickens too. They're entertaining. Maybe I'm just easily entertained, but yeah.
I could get mesmerized.
So you've got the cabin is all the house all move in ready. So you beat the -45 degree weather.
I was just in time before it started getting really cold. I was able to keep some heat in there, and it's nice and warm now. So I'm very happy with that. I still don't have running water in the house, but that's the next project that I'm working on this week.
That'll be a huge upgrade. A huge upgrade. Running water, I'm right there with you. I'm just about to that point in my project. Water and electricity.
Yeah. I was taking photos. It's looking great. I'm glad that's coming along for you. I'm excited for you too.
Yeah, got to get you up here this summer and do some fishing.
I got to do it. I got to find someone to take care of the farm for a week just to escape.
Eric, are you out there?
Be nice.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so you also, you grow for local farm stands?
I used to. I definitely, I was working way too hard for people that really didn't appreciate it. That kind of has changed now, but I went from growing as a market garden, just working 100-hour weeks, you know, making ends meet and then making good money in the fall season when everything's coming in. But that stuff is just so priceless to me. It's so hard to give it away for even any dollar amount because you can't buy stuff like that at the store. And I just have such a hard time even buying stuff from the store these days because I don't trust what they're doing with our food. And I have a hard time trusting even people in their backyard gardens with what they're doing. So,
yes, I agree. You know, it's a sad day when not only are you going to the grocery store and you're being, you know, offended by the prices, assaulted by the prices, you're questioning everything that you're buying. I question everything I'm buying, you know, they say it's organic, but what was the water source like and this and that,
yeah,
that and this and, yeah. So I think a lot of people are starting to be a little more aware of that, you know, the GMO stuff. They didn't quite understand that, and now they're understanding that. But also, you know, the rainwater that's going into the – I mean, there's stuff that we can't control by all means, but it is a cause for concern.
Yeah, even a good well these days, you're going to need filtration. I mean, just a little extra iron in your well water is going to accumulate eventually in your soils, and then that acid rain is going to throw your pH off, and you're going to suck all that iron up into your green veggies. And iron's good to some degree, but I don't think that form is what our body's wanting. So I definitely am figuring out the filtration for the well. That's something I hadn't done, and it's going to be pretty expensive, but in the end, it's going to be so worth the health benefits for me and everyone that I get to share my food with.
Yes, most certainly.
Excellent point.
You know.
Very excellent point. I didn't even think of that because my grandfather had a well, you know, and we never worried about it when I grew up. You know, we didn't have to worry about that water. It was the best water, you know, on his farm, and we didn't have to worry about it. But now, with the chemicals everywhere and the overuse of pesticides, you know, just it everything is infiltrating every single water system, including microplastics. Microplastics are found in every fresh water system tested in all 50 states. It's really, like, even Crater Lake, which is, you know, supposed to be one of the most, you know, pristine, you know, here in Oregon, Crater Lake. Yeah. Microplastics are even found in that water. And so it's like, yeah, that's a huge consideration that I didn't even think about until you said it about, you know, having to actually think about filtration processes for your well water.
Yeah, that's something that really blew me away when I started doing all this research. And there's a few people I follow, and they're just filtering their water, and then they're remineralizing it themselves to get this amazing balance. And you can just see the difference in the garden once after a year or two and how it changes. Everything grows much faster, and who knows what the overall difference is when you ingest all those foods. I bet they feel amazing after a couple years of eating just more balanced soil produced crops.
Yes, I that is a consideration I take when I'm hunting, when I'm fishing, when I'm gardening, or, you know, when I had chickens in Washington, I was constantly concerned about what I was feeding my chickens because I was, you know, consuming not only eggs, but sometimes chicken itself and the water, you know, the water source. We had a good well, thank goodness. But, yeah, these are things that I'm constantly thinking of. And these microplastics, that's a huge thing. And when you're forced to buy this inexpensive diet, you know, what you can afford in the grocery stores anymore, you're forced to buy these crappy pastas and stuff that when you look at the labels, you're realizing that it wasn't even made in the United States. And, you know, these other countries don't have the same environmental considerations or regulations that, you know, we have here. Although I'm not big on more government or regulation, I do want an assurance, quality assurance on, you know, my food source. And that's something we're all entitled to.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have any trust in what other people are doing with their food and even what the processing facilities are doing with it at that point. Like everything that comes in from a foreign country, just it gets sprayed down at every port it comes through. And who knows the impact that has on the quality of food. And I just feel like my goal in life is to take that into my own hands and to also share with everyone else I know then, and just get the word out that you have to take some control of this to not only help yourself, but just help your neighbors and try to take a little bit of money out of this system, this food system that is just crumbling, and build our own.
Yes. I couldn't agree more. And I know you've been doing this for quite some time, and it's been so awesome to see you take this ideal and turn it into a reality, you know, and small and the sacrifices you've made. It hasn't been easy. No, it hasn't been easy.
No.
And learning, you know, just the learning process and curve and, you know, bumps along the way. They're inevitable, but they're still challenges. And I'm glad you didn't give up because, you know, I've benefited from your research and your hard work and good food. And it's, you know, I wish I lived closer.
I know. I just want to send you all the boxes of produce I can.
I'd love it. You know, it would sit on the dock in Ketchikan for a month with the rest of my soggy mail.
It'd still be fresher than
for a new plant.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you called in. Thank you.
Me too. I'm so glad. I was just like, man, what else am I going to do tonight? And I saw you pop up on Facebook, and I was like, man, I haven't participated in this yet. So I'm really glad I made,
well, I'm glad you did.
Made my way.
I'm glad you did too. And you don't have to go anywhere either. You know,
correct.
This is awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
I love being introduced to new people. And yeah, this has been great.
Yeah, I'm definitely working
yeah.
on figuring out how to kind of share my story and everything I'm upgrading out here. And I got people that want to give me a hand this year. So I think I'm going to expand and maybe go a little overboard like I usually do, but it usually works out.
Well, I'm excited to see what you've got lined up for this summer.
Me too. I'm putting in a lot of berries and doing a little more of a permaculture style just so I can plant things once and let them establish for years to come. I do a lot of annual vegetables and storage crops, but those do kind of get old, and I'd rather plant something that, yeah, you don't get anything for the first couple years, but after 5 years of like a nice tree being established, you're just swarmed with fruit or whatever it is, and just trying to look more in the long term and establish something that doesn't require just the day-to-day maintenance, something that's just like a seasonal maintenance and just doesn't require replanting every year. That's just a lot of work and seems like a lot of time wasted for certain things.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And when you don't have a lot of extra space to devote, you know, can be a challenge. You're going to need more space soon, Christian.
Yeah, I have the other back corner of my property. I'm going to take out maybe 10 pine trees, and that's going to be my permaculture and starting my berry patch back there. Going to have a little bit of chicken run around it and just do some pollinators, just trying to increase the health of my property. And every year I've lived out here, it just gets greener and greener. And I know it's just my energy out here, taking care of the land, just giving it love. I feel like that's all living things need to thrive is just a little bit of love and attention. And I'm glad to be here to provide that because it's providing it back to me.
You know,
yeah,
I usually in my backyard, you know, I have blackberry bushes that started from my neighbors and come through the fence, and they've constantly been a challenge to cut down and keep them from overgrowing. And I'm literally like, I'm looking at it already, like I can already see them growing, even though it's winter. And I'm considering like, maybe I should just let them grow. Fuck it. At least maybe I'll have some berries eventually if I don't keep cutting the stuff down. And then on my south side of my yard, thought about, like, I got this, like, about a year ago, I got this, you know, big, like, half pound of wildflower seeds for, like, really cheap Oregon wildflowers. And I'm like, you know, maybe I should just scatter those on the south side of my yard to increase the pollinators, bring in some butterflies and, you know, have like an oasis, especially because across from me where I live, you know, there's my neighbors across the street from me. And on the other side of that was 4 acres of just open land. That now just recently got bought, and now they're building this huge apartment complex there, you know, but for years that's just been this open lot of, you know, just things growing wild all over. And so now that is being removed for these apartment complexes. And so that's even less, you know, area for pollinators to, you know, have a home and pollinate stuff. And so that's why I'm thinking of this, like, pretty soon I was thinking February of, you know, sometime when we have a break in the rain here in Oregon, mowing that south side of the lawn, like really short, you know, as short as I possibly can. And then sprinkling all these seeds for the wildflowers and just having my whole south side of my house just nothing but wildflowers. And like, I'm considering, like I said, letting the blackberry bushes that have wanted to take over and just like just let them do it, you know. And that way I'll get some berries, you know, wildflowers, pollinators and that kind of thing, and just kind of making it a lot more feasible, you know. And it's stuff I already have, seeds I already have. And the land is fertile because I haven't, you know, done a lot of, like, you know, weed killers and things like that, you know, so the soil there is actually pretty good. And so I'm rethinking everything for this spring, pretty much, for a lot of the same reasons that you're talking about.
Yeah, I really like where you're going with that, because with that apartment complex going in and them clearing out all that land, you are going to notice a significant drop in just wildlife and, yeah, pollinators in general. So that is very smart of you to want to throw out some wildflowers, and because that's the start. I do recommend throw that seed out before you do mow, because because then you're going to get all those seeds trapped under a nice layer of mulch, and there's no way they're going to dry out under that. That's such a good way to really establish something out there, is get a nice layer of grass on top of the ground first. And if you already have that going, it's going to be some fertile soil. So I see some good success happening with that.
Oh, good idea. Good idea. And usually I bag it up, but you're right. Like, if I plant the seeds first and then put my mower in mulch mode so that the grass that I mow ends up layering it, then that kind of fertilizes it, keeps it from drying out, keeps the birds from, you know, eating it, stuff like that, and it might actually transplant. I like that idea. Thank you.
Of course, yeah, that's a good way to go about it. I love using cover crops out here. I've planted winter rye on almost all 5 acres out here, and that stuff grows even with snow on the ground. So I'm getting a lot of free nitrogen just by throwing that grass seed out there. So it's ready for me to start throwing wildflowers and just establishing certain plants like you're talking about, just in areas where they're never going to get irrigated. But, you know, except for the hottest part of the summer, they'll do something.
Yeah, and I've always wanted on my south side of the yard to, you know, put up, you know, some raised beds, you know, for growing veggies and stuff like that. You know, I just haven't had, like, you know, the money and everything, because it's expensive, you know, like, just even a couple of them with the soil and everything and the prep. And, but the thing is when you plant all these wildflowers and stuff first, and then you let them establish for a while, they help reinvigorate the soil. You know, not only do they, you know, seed and repopulate themselves, but then, you know, when they die off in the winter and all that, then all those minerals go back. Like, I also don't rake the leaves in my backyard at all for that reason as well, because they biodegrade easily. They're contributing to the soil. So I just let the leaves stay, you know, and actually by not raking your leaves, you're also helping, you know, the birds and stuff, because the birds will go down and they go under the leaves and they get seeds or they get worms, you know, stuff like that. So when you rake all of your leaves, you're actually depleting your soil for the following year, you know, year after year after year.
Yeah, covering your soil is just so important. As soon as you start covering that soil with leaves, you're getting a mycelial network that starts to climb even closer to the surface. And once your plants tap into that, they just have unlimited resources of nutrition and water through that network. So I'm trying to keep my ground covered with some sort of grass during the off season, and then I'll till that in or mow it in or something to get some of that nutrition back in the soil. And just trying to slowly build that soil up, because your plants will pull a lot of stuff out of the air for you that you don't have to go buy. Throwing stuff in the compost and spreading that anywhere you can. And I love the goats and chickens, because everything they leave behind is just super fertile, and everywhere they roam, I can just see the grass getting greener every year. It's just, it's magical to see, just seeing all this fungal network come alive out here. I can just feel the place coming alive. It's great.
Yeah, and
you know, it's actually so, oh, sorry, doll.
Yeah, sorry. No, I'm just saying, you know, that's essential, because you've got a, like, you know, Christian was saying this complete environmental network that's, you know, self-sustaining and will do its own thing, and without the need of extra water and shade and no shade and the secondary benefits, you know, the visitors to your garden, the mushrooms that grow and the critters that come with it. And, you know, yeah, it's the circle of life.
Yeah, I love my compost teas for the garden. I feel like that's kind of activated the fungal networks and balanced the bacterial and fungal organisms in my soil. That I've noticed has decreased my need for water and my need for nutrients as well. Ever since I started using that, I'm doing a third less water every year. It seems like I just need less and less water, so I'm just going to keep that up. I did know a friend who had an old dairy farm that he converted into a garden, and man, he has 5 feet thick of just manure out there, and he waters his plants once a week just because that whole five foot layer is just mycelium that's holding in moisture. And as soon as those plants tap into that, they don't have to go anywhere. They're in a dream. So it's just really cool to see what a nice, healthy soil system can do and how much you can back off once you establish that.
You know, we try to mimic these things that nature does so well with chemicals and, you know, different other extremes when you just kind of let it be and establish itself and layer up, you're in great shape.
Yeah, I don't know what some other people are doing in their gardens, but I'm going to stick to what I'm doing because it seems to be working and it doesn't seem like I'm going backwards anywhere.
Yep, just don't let those goats in.
Yeah, they're vicious.
Yeah, I know, but like I have like this really tall grass in my backyard that grows. I don't even know where the hell it came from, but it grows so fast and so tall, and I can't mow it. You know, like it's like because the nonstop rain, you know, and then it grows and grows, and by the time the rain stops, it's already, you know, up to my knees, and no mower is going to be able to mow it. And so, like, the last couple of years, I've had to just, like, let it go. And it grows up to my waist, and I'm 5'9", you know, so this stuff is up to my waist. And it's like kind of like, you know, it gets really wild in my yard as a result. And so I haven't mowed it down until the end of summer, like, you know, late August into September, because it's just like, it's so high, you know, and I'm like, where did this stuff come from, you know? But at the same time, it's kind of cool because it reminds me of my grandpa's farm, like walking in the field with, you know, the waist high grasses and stuff. It's like, you know, if I need to get some goats, you know, or harvest that stuff for hay or something, because
goats will fix
you're breaking
your
up, Christian.
Yeah, you definitely need some goats.
I just don't want them to like eat my rose bushes or anything, so I'd have to get creative.
Yeah,
to do it.
But.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Oh my goodness. Well, we had cinnamon.
But
with,
I thought of that, like how you can rent
Santa
goats to come in and just like chew the crap out of this stuff, you know. It's just like it'd be perfect stuff for the goats.
Well,
they freaking love it.
I might have to send you some goats.
Oh my god!
And then let them like crap
cute
all over the lawn, you know, to fertilize it. You know, the only time I clean up the dog poop in my backyard is just before mowing, you know, and even then it's like, you know what, screw it. I'll just put it at the, you know, high level. That way the mower doesn't mow up the poop, but I feed my dog like, you know, more natural dog foods and stuff. And, I feed her like ground bison food, Wild Idea Buffalo. I'm going to plug them from South Dakota. They're 100% prairie raised. They're never, you know, supplemented with anything. And so, you know, my dog is supplemented with this bison pet food, which is basically like the ground organs and stuff of the bison. And so, like, I don't even really clean the dog poop out of my backyard because she's fertilizing it. Especially
yeah,
during winter when it's raining all the time.
I would leave it as well. My dogs have been eating on a deer and a cow that I slaughter. They're just getting all the scraps from that. So they've been really happy out here.
Yeah, and a friend of my
Lucky
sister's, you know, she he goes deer hunting and, you know, of course, butchers and stuff. And I'm just like, you know, well, if you have any scraps that you want to send me, you know, I'll send it to me. And for Christmas, he sent four big, you know, deer leg bones. For Nikita and then of course me some ground venison but yeah like that
girl.
Was Nikita's treat. She has one bone left of a nice meaty leg bone.
Yeah, my dogs have been chewing on the four hooves from the cow I slaughtered and the cow head. Oh man, that they tore that head apart and yeah, they're still chewing on those legs. It's crazy. It's been around for a month and they're still getting enjoyment out of it.
Oh my goodness. I forgot you guys did a cow too.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of butchering. I'm pretty tired, but I got a couple freezers full of meat and I've been able to give some out and it feels really good to have something I trust going in my belly because buying meat from the store is just sketchy.
I agree. You know, I pressure cook a lot of mine because I worry about our, you know, electricity going out for a long period of time or something and don't want to lose all my meat and gear jars and add a little bit of, you know, salt if you want, you know, some nice Himalayan salt or something delicious. And I just do dry packing or I do the hard pack stew or hot pack stews, but it's economical because then you're not, you know, relying on the electricity and whatnot. And they're good for a couple years. And I love it. You can just pop open a can and like mix some taco seasoning or whatever you want to it. Or you can, you know, any kind of seasoning you want. But I'm canning mostly venison. But sometimes I'll run across good organic beef or, you know, would have something shipped up from down south. And I'd be canning beef for days.
Yeah, I don't see a problem having any shelf-stable food laying around right now. That's super smart. I can't get over canning meat. That's something I haven't been able to do. But I bought a generator, so just in case my power goes out, I can fire that up because I'm not losing my meat stash.
Yeah.
That would be terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and I'm here in the city in Salem, and I don't have a generator. But one thing, again, wild idea of Buffalo, the way they package their meat for shipping, they use this this foam insulation, which is absolutely incredible, and I've saved it. But it's also biodegradable. All you got to do is run water on it, and it'll dissolve. It's fabulous. I don't know why more places don't use this material for packaging. But this material that they use to line their boxes to insulate it for shipping is really, really great. And I've saved it because when my electricity has gone out or my refrigerator is broken down, I can just take one of my big boxes that I've saved and I literally line it with this biofoam and I've put all my meat and everything into it. And I'm serious, like it was about maybe a year and a half ago, my refrigerator and freezer broke down and I couldn't get a tech in to come check it out for like 4 days. And I was like, shit, you know, and I had all this, you know, steak and, you know, bison steak and bison ground and bison everything, you know. And so I took all of that stuff and I took one of my Chewy.com boxes, right, those big, huge suckers, you know, from Chewy.com. I lined it with this foam that I've saved from Wild Idea Buffalo and put all my meat and everything in there. And then some, you know, ice packs. You know, I took those, you know, normal gel ice packs and I put them in a Ziploc because I didn't want the gel shit to, you know, get anywhere. And so I just packed it with that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, after my freezer, my refrigerator was fixed and I opened up that box again to start, you know, checking it out and putting things back in, it was all still frozen after 4 days. All still Fine. Frozen. Like, that's how good this foam is. It's like, holy shit. You know, I'm saving this.
Yeah, so stuff like that's it's good to have a little bit around for the what ifs. I lose power out here, you know, once a year. So I lost power while I was trying to paint my house even. So it can be a pain in the ass relying on a grid.
Yep. You were off grid
for quite some time. I almost want to send a box to Dahl of just all this foam that I've gotten, because I've been ordering from Wild Idea for probably 4 years now. And so I have this bio foam.
Boxes,
you know, like just I've ship her a box of it to keep it cold just in case, you know.
I got boxes coming out my ears here. Don't send anything.
Yeah, no, I won't send
anything.
Well,
it's for the foam, not the box. But, hey, but the boxes make for good fire, you know. You can burn up that cardboard. I've done that, you know, instead of putting it in the recycle bin, I've saved some of my smaller boxes and piled up along with the paper packing and I'll pile that shit up. You know, I'm serious. I got like this big fucking moving box full of the paper packing material. Oh, language. I know. Sorry. It comes out once in a while. Just full of this paper and small box, you know, break down the small boxes. If my power goes out and I have no heat or something and it's cold, I got a whole box of burning material that'll probably last me quite a while.
Yeah, I finally have a good stash of that stuff laying around. I got a greenhouse that I keep from freezing with a barrel stove that I built. So I've got a box of kindling, a bunch of cardboard laying around just so I can start fires easy and getting ready to start planting my crops for the year and all my starts. So got a lot of planning coming up and a little work on the greenhouse. Stay warm because we deal with freezing until May. So got to keep her warm and keep everything alive.
Oh, and
yep,
then don't forget about your toilet paper roll and paper towel roll.
Oh, correct.
I have a big bag of those. Yeah, because you take toilet paper roll. And, you know, you take some newspaper and, you know, roll it up like, you know, long but twisted. And you feed that through the toilet paper rolls. That makes the most excellent fire starter. I have gone to the coast. I have like a travel fire pit. And I will line the bottle of that, you know, and this is like on the Oregon coast and the wind is going like 30 miles an hour or something or whatever. I line the bottom of that with the toilet paper rolls filled with the twisted newspaper and I can get a fire started even in that. But lining the bottom of that with your kindling, and you will get a fire started, you know, and it doesn't take much. Just a spark to get one of them going, and it's like a chain reaction. And it'll get it going. So, yeah, I literally have like a big, bag full of toilet paper rolls for being a fire
okay.
starter.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
I use a blowtorch. I use a blowtorch.
A blowtorch.
Yeah, just get it done.
Literally.
I don't mind a blowtorch.
Yeah, no, just literally. It's one of the little handheld propane bottles with the screw-on torch attachment on the top, and throw some wood in the wood stove, and you whoosh, and off you go.
Bulletproof.
Boom. Yeah, totally bulletproof. Works every time. No blowing and huffing and puffing and ash billowing out.
Yeah, if you're working too hard, you're not using the right tool.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Well, Christian, I want to thank you so much for calling in.
Of course. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah. You're welcome to stay. I have we have a couple clips we are going to play before the end of the show, and we're almost at the end of our show already. I can't believe it. I mean, where the heck does the time go?
Oh, there's only 35
by,
minutes left of the live broadcast, but we can go into overtime. And my vote is that we go into overtime, since it's been a couple of weeks since you've had a show. Just saying, I'm biased.
You're biased, girl. Oh, my goodness.
Take care of this morning.
Yeah, Kristen's got goats to take care of in the morning. And a couple look like Satan.
Know.
They do. You don't want to keep Satan waiting.
Yeah, angel.
I know. And now, the next time you go to the bathroom and you use some toilet paper, you're going to look at the toilet paper and go, I'm going to be saving these toilet paper rolls now because of Laurianne.
I don't know if I'll think about it.
Oh,
I planted the seed. It'll happen.
Oh, the things we learn on Friday nights. Oh, my goodness. All right. So, we're going to move on just a little bit here before we get
please
too
do.
Far out. You're like, please do. But please stay. You're welcome to stay and chime in. I do have a couple clips that Laurianne was so kind to upload for us. And I thought that, you know, we've been talking about food insecurity and all kinds of stuff. You know, now I think we should talk a little bit about J.P. Sears. It's just a quick smile because he is so awesome. And Laurianne, you uploaded one of his newer clips, but I'm not. Oh, I see it. Okay, so the newest clip is from the 4th of this month. So this is J.P. Sears.
Yes.
It's funny if you've never heard about him before. Yeah, he's
amazing.
So the irony of everything. Yeah, he's fun. And he says lots of stuff. My favorite, his favorite punchline I love is vaccinations.
Oh, yeah,
and the way he says
vaccinations. He does that to avoid the YouTube censorship. So he says COVID and vaccination.
Yeah. So anyway, so these are words that are banned now. So we're going to hear this quick clip from J.P. Sears, and we'll be right back, folks.
Hi, Chief of the Thought Police here. You've probably heard about Stanford's Elimination of Harmful Language Initiative, where they encourage the elimination of highly offensive words and terms like American, brave, gentleman, rule of thumb, and she. While we're obviously in full support of this very important work, one thing we do not support is how Stanford didn't go nearly far enough in eliminating harmful language. Stanford has not policed language nearly enough, which leaves too many words still on the table that run the risk of accurately conveying reality through conversation, which could provoke uncomfortable feelings in many people who are special enough to not be strong enough to deal with reality. So we're here to finish the job in eliminating the remaining dangers in the English language that Stanford should have taken care of. The word penis is now off the table, as it just assumes gender and is very offensive to people who have a penis but like to pretend they don't. The new suggested alternative to the word penis is sex organ assigned at birth that's also probably a vagina. The word winner is now banned, as it's uninclusive to people who are shitty enough at what they do that they never win. The new suggested alternative to winner is person who is only of equal value to everyone else. Also, you no longer have permission to use the word person, as it violently assumes species. The alternative that you do have permission to use is living being of unknown species identification. Our new speak language alternatives are linguistically gain-of-function engineered to be person-first, neurodivergent, reality-defined, inclusive to all, and uninclusive to none. They're certified to have the inability to offend anyone while conveying no usable information. The word man is now demoted to unimproved language. Men are toxic. The new alternative to use is person who is yet to transition into being a woman. This brings us to the obvious. Superman. Even though Superman bravely transitioned to bisexuality last year, he still doesn't get a pass. The new equity-based gender super-neutral alternative to Superman is ordinary human. And don't you dare say groomer. It's highly offensive to people who want to groom children and not get caught. The approved term you now have to use is a person who wants to fuck a kid. And that's totally okay now, for some reason. And you'll certainly have to say goodbye to the word no. Nothing could be more uninclusive or create better boundaries. No also discourages obedience, which is absolutely a threat to our democracy. The new alternative for the word no is yes. Aside from eliminating the possibility of uncomfortable emotions, our new speak alternatives also empower you to have to use a lot more words to convey a lot less information. The word lazy is no longer allowed. It's highly offensive to shitbags living a degenerate life. The new and improved alternative to the word lazy is an individual who is highly motivated to do nothing. And for those who like to put their tinfoil hats on and use the word globalist, well, not anymore, because permission to use that word is revoked. The new word for globalist is climate change crusader. And you can strike the word house from your vocabulary. It's a highly offensive term with obvious racist connotations because houses are what slave owners used to live in. Your new, much less offensive alternative is dwelling structure with walls, a roof, and indoor plumbing. Single mother is now a banned term. It's a nasty, gender-assumptive term that's cost many people their lives. The new term is birthing person that no one wants to bang anymore. That's the most updated list of banned words, but stay tuned because enough is never enough. So we'll be coming back to claim further territory in your mind with more words soon. And at the end of the day, with the best of intentions, Stanford with their list wants to neuter your thoughts to minimize violence that's conveyed through sensible words. But we absolutely want you to be as weak of a piece of shit as possible because it simply creates a safer space that's inclusive to all people as we evolve our way forward back into being single-celled amoebas because we care about you. And as always, your compliance with our thought policing is appreciated, and your social credit score will thank you for it. Hey, if you're a freedom lover, I would love to invite you to join my freedom lovers community on Locals. It's free to join, or you can become a paid supporter and unlock a bunch of cool features like my weekly behind the scenes live stream chats I do. You can join me for free or a supporter at jpsteers.locals.com. I'll see you on the inside. Hey, I want to thank the sponsor of today's video, Bond Charge, and their anti-EMF radiation devices. Because if you don't want to be a degenerate scumbag, blocking EMFs is a good idea. There's three specific anti-EMF radiation devices that I use every single day. I want to tell you about them. The first is the harmonizing sticker, which I always have on my phone. Why? Because we know a great way to nuke the cells of your body is with the EMFs coming off your mobile phone. But if you don't want to do that, the harmonizing sticker helps protect you from the EMFs coming off your phone. It gives me more peace of mind knowing that I'm doing something to protect myself rather than relegating myself to being a human experiment to see what happens always being inundated with the EMFs. Second, every day I'm using the EMF radiation-free air tube headphones. Now, these will not protect you from attacks by baby goats, but what they will protect is your brain from EMFs. We know that wireless Bluetooth headphones are convenient, but the downside is they have up to 1,500% more EMFs going into your brain than wired headphones. But Bond Charge goes a step even better than that, utilizing an air tube to keep the EMFs even further away from your head and brain. Because if you go brain dead, then you'll be dead, and then nobody's going to feed your goats, and they'll go hungry. But Bond Charge helps protect baby goats from such things. Thirdly, every day I'm using Bond Charge's EMF radiation blocking laptop mat. As you can see, I'm now fully protected from the EMFs coming.
Okay, and that's enough of that. But I totally caught the goats at the end of that clip.
Gotta protect the baby goats.
Gotta protect those baby goats. That was completely random. That was so
yeah.
Random. Didn't hear that coming. Did not hear that coming. Wait,
Oh, ironic.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that either when I watched the clip earlier. I didn't pay attention to
you. Yeah, a little white rabbit. Yeah. So today is the second anniversary, 2 years since January 6th. And it's an unavoidable topic that, needs to be discussed. And, something interesting when Lorianne and I were doing our show prep, there wasn't a lot of information to be found out there about the fate of the detainees of, people that have been detained. Thousands of people have been contacted and or detained since the beginning of this. And when I say a lot of information, I mean, there's mainstream media information out there, but the fate of some of these people, some of these people have languished in prison so long that they have, died there. And, there's been no movement nor resolve for any of the, accountability for anything that occurred at the Capitol that day. And what I mean by that is the fact that, the keepers of the People's House have not been held accountable or had to recount cohesive and or accurate or truthful, chain of events that happened that day. And that, what I mean is by Nancy Pelosi, it's gross mismanagement of that. And I'll just go out and say I'm confident it was a staged, event. This was a false flag event. It was, masterfully orchestrated by these swamp rats. You got Pelosi and pencil neck bug eyed Schiff and the illegitimate puppet.
Talk about Congress. It's official. It looks like McCarthy is won as House Speaker, like just as you're speaking right now.
Okay. Yep. I just got an alert. When we went to the break,
yep,
real quick,
McCarthy officially won as House Speaker, right at this freaking moment. Sorry to interrupt you. You know
15...
me. I don't like to interrupt you, but this is like breaking, like right now.
Yeah. Breaking news. So after the 15th round of voting, folks, it looks like Kevin McCarthy appears to on track to win the speakership of the House. I'm not a fan of McCarthy's. He 46% of the time votes in favor of the Democratic agenda and not just bipartisan stuff, but, radical left crap. So, I just would like Mr. McCarthy to know that he will be being watched and held accountable. And one of the reasons they were, held up with this voting are the other swamp rats, including the rhinos and all the rest of them.
Yep.
They wanted to make sure that there was a guarantee that, okay, you'll get my vote, but when this comes up, I want my concession. So
yeah,
this came.
But he also won just by a sliver. I mean, by a sliver. And there's a lot of concessions, and one of them, I believe they put a time where they put in there that after such amount of time, we can impeach you if, you know, you're not doing your job. We can unseat you and vote for somebody else. So they're setting up the door. So like, okay, we're going to give you a trial run, but it's going to buy them time on both sides to put up a better candidate. So we could, in 6 months, this summer, we could be seeing a whole new vote for Speaker of the House because of the contingencies they put in place to gain the votes that he needed. He's not going to go unchecked,
yeah.
Put it that way. McCarthy is not going to go unchecked by the Republicans that were the holdouts and made all these concessions possible.
Go ahead, Christian.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, if only the people really had a say in all that, because it's just swamp rats voting for swamp rats. So it's just, they're just putting someone else in there that's going to sit on their ass and kind of just keep the ball rolling to keep us entertained. I don't know. I don't trust anything that's coming from that side of the country.
Would you
but...
trust the popular vote? Ooh, here's a good question. I just thought of it. Okay, so let's say that for Speaker of the House, threshold is increased not just from a simple majority, but like a 60% vote. You have to have 60% of the vote in in everybody in Congress in order to be voted Speaker of the House. And if you don't make that 60%, then it goes to the popular vote. And then the citizens decide who the Speaker of the House is going to be. And you got to keep in mind, Speaker of the House is third in line of President of the United States. So if the President and the Vice President are both attending an event together and they're actually in the same proximity together, they are at risk of both being assassinated. And if that were to happen, or both die for, you know, there's a gas explosion, which of course that's what the CIA always fucking do. Oh, sorry. think about it. Like, this is why this vote is so important, because this is the third in line to be the President of the United States. Should both President and Vice President be deceased or incapacitated at the same time, which is highly possible in many situations.
He's not there, but man, it just seems like a circus to me.
Yeah,
and yeah, like people
sad,
are
though,
forgetting that. They're not pointing that out. Like, this is a vote for a third in line of the presidency. I mean, my goodness.
Oh, that's constantly in the forefront of my mind when Nancy Pelosi was, you know, Speaker of the House.
I am so thankful that we are over her era.
I hope to feel that.
I just hope McCarthy. I hope McCarthy has as much balls as she had, though.
That's very true. She was a bulldozer.
Yeah,
she was
ruthless,
man. Ruthless.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness sakes. Yeah. No, just insane. But yeah, so we do have a new Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. We'll see how that goes. I'm just hoping there's not too much distraction with that. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And, you know, it's time to get back to work. you know, we've had the elections, we've had, you know, these stalemates, and of course, a very lame duck congressional session with the huge, you know, debt increase in our, you know, nationwide debt with this bill they passed last week, you know, rushed through the House. And, yeah. I hope people are their own watchdogs. Be a watchdog in your own community. You know, people look at the bigger picture, you know, look at the big picture, and the big picture begins at home. In your own community, that's where, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think my vote makes a big difference to anything, even in my local area, but the way I live my life, and the way I present myself to the world, I think that makes the biggest change.
Exactly. And, you know, just to start at home, start with your friends, your family, your community, and that collective voice grows. And surround yourself with people that are going to, you know, support you in a practical way. If it's crazy, if they're just feeding crazy, then that's no good. But to have a good support system, not only close to home, but also in the community, where you can rely on your community to pull together, because you don't want to rely on the government.
You never do. I'm starting to dip my toes in a new community out here. We got a Freedom Exchange that's a group of just people that do tons of bartering and just more like-minded individuals that I've met a couple dozen people in the last few months, and just connecting with them just has given me so much hope for the future and just so many projects that I want to do out here, and all these people just want to lend a hand. So with 10 people raising their hands to help, it's bound to few hands out here, and they want to learn what I know, and I want to learn what they know, and you put a few heads together and you guys can do some great things. So I'm ready to get started on this year. Pretty excited, trying to weather the winter, but there's still a lot of things I can do now and get ready.
Yeah, and see, that's great, because I think that's a huge fundamental part of how America was built, was, you know, relying on your neighbors, pitching in, you know, the proverbial barn raisings and whatnot. And here in Alaska, you know, not only do we barter and trade and a lot of, you know, food with each other, you know, hey, I've got extra salmon, I'll trade it for some venison or whatever, you know, time and talent. Just people pitching in to do a project or to lend their talents and knowledge. I mean, that's just something that you can't, you know, get on Postmates or whatever you call that, you know. It's the fundamentals of a strong community.
Yeah, I love seeing people's sparkle in their eye when they see the things I'm doing out here. It just further motivates me to continue my path, and then also try to connect with more people and get the tools in their hands to do the same thing, because if everyone did a little bit of gardening in their backyard, just that's just going to in turn make them healthier, make them more sustainable, and give them confidence to take care of themselves. And the more people that can just get out of that rat race of fear and propaganda and just kind of come back home and know that they have their own backs, that's just going to change the collective consciousness and help us move forward to where we need to be.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's kind of funny, because it's a little off topic, not too off topic, but the other day I was chopping wood and my dog, she was heading down to the beach, and you know when your dog wants you to see something. So I reluctantly went down to the beach, and I was like, what in the heck is down on my beach? And at first I thought they were crab pots or shrimp pots, but they weren't the right shape. And So I was like, all right, it's kind of stormy, but I'll go down there. So I go down there, and they were oyster pens that had washed up. And there are a couple small oyster farms in the vicinity, you know, not within, you know, a handful of miles, but further away. And the pens didn't have any identifying marks or tags or saying where they came from. And they were full of oysters. And so I got Jeff, and I said, hey, Jeff, come down here, my nephew. And I said, hey, come down here with the wheelbarrow. Let's get these pens up here. And, of course, being Jeff, people here don't know Jeff, but Christian does. Jeff was like, well, you know, I don't like oysters, and you're not really going to eat something you found on the beach, are you? And I said, well, what do you mean? They just washed up from the farm. I mean, they just got here. And needless to say, it was really cool. Needless to say, I popped open the pens and sorted out all the really good, beautiful live oysters. And the bigger ones, my neighbors and I and some friends all had oysters for a couple days. And then the small ones I kept and put back in the pens and anchored them down in a tide pool down on the low tide mark. So
exactly
hopefully within a year or so, you know, I'll have some spats will happen and pretty soon oysters will start popping up down there. But I'm pretty excited because I put the small oysters back in and in the pens so that, you know, predators can't get to them, but the spats will be able to distribute, you know, in the tide pools and stuff. And it's, you know, as pristine as it gets, you know, water-wise and filtration-wise and stuff. So that was kind of exciting. And I put a little more time and effort into it and doing research than I had anticipated, but I think it'll pay off. And it's just a good investment in, you know, beach.
Yeah, you got the property out there to do it, and once those nets are down, they just need protection, and they take care of themselves. It's as long as you can keep those nets down, you're always going to have a population reproducing, and oysters are just one amazing way of getting your sea minerals in that you can't get through a lot of other foods. So I make my own freeze-dried oysters that I supplement every day, so that's definitely something I wish I could be doing out here, but no ocean in the vicinity, so I'm going to have a hard time.
No. So true. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to, although Lori Ann wants to go into overtime badly, I do have to work in the morning, and so I'm just going to go ahead and stay with the regular broadcast time because I had to give my crew a business day off. The roads were finally good enough for them to take care of business and stuff, so everybody promised to come back tomorrow. So I have to be up and ready
for
these guys.
So the next round begins. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just great to have you back.
It's so great to hear your voice.
Christian, I want to...
Yeah, Lorianne.
Yes, it's good to hear your voice. Yeah, call in anytime, Christian. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, I'll definitely try to chime in on Fridays. I mean, I'm just hanging out on the farm, and at the end of the night, I got to do something besides work. I got to take some time off, so I would love to contribute and learn from what's going on here. So I appreciate you for doing this. So proud of you, and like I said, love hearing your voice
come
through the radio.
Excellent. Well, thank you. It was nice having you here tonight. And Lori Ann, we are doing a show on Sunday night, the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show. That's a fun one to chime into, Christian. I'll send you a link for that one.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I'll
what do we have
open.
Sunday? Thank you. Thank you so much, Lori Ann. What do we have?
Christian, you are more than welcome to tune into my show on Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann. Here on Blog Talk Radio, I have a link posted on my Lucid Libertarian page and my own Facebook page. I'm sure Dahl will probably share it because she co-hosts. She's my sister here in radio. And so I co-host with her show and she co-hosts with mine and we're a team. So yeah, tune in. I don't know what the show's going to entail, really. I am lining up a potential guest, though, for maybe 2 weeks or something. So that might be in the works, but it's going to be a free-for-all show. But there are a number of topics that I want to talk to, like the Speaker of the House, like all kinds of other stuff going on, because I know that that's been taking a lot of the front page news, but there's been a lot of other stuff going on too to try to pay attention to, and so yeah, yep. Lots of possibilities on my show on Sunday night. Sorry.
Yes, I am looking forward to it.
Yes,
yeah,
that will be on with me. So yeah, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah.
You're like, yeah. Listen, you girl.
Yeah.
Sounds like you need to get
to bed. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah. Picture me doing a Fonzie. Like, yeah. Thumbs up. Yeah.
No, it was A.
No. We'll like that, but instead. Upgraded to 2023.
Okay, good. Well, so we say yeah again. We'll be tuned in, and everybody, I hope you all tune in next Friday night. And with 2023 coming up, being here, we'll be booking new guests and stuff. So if you're out there in Radio Land and you'd like to join the show and you have a topic you'd like to share and or idea for the show, please reach out. You know, you can find me at Facebook, Dahl Arntzen, or Facebook, Alaska Patriot Network Radio Show, also on Twitter. So I love to hear from our listeners and the feedback and how we can better, you know, bring information and knowledge to you. And for all the people that tune in and call in, Christian, thank you. Lorianne, thank you. Cinnamon, thank you for calling in tonight and listening to the show. And everybody else, chat was a little glitchy tonight. So if we didn't get back to you through chat, that was kind of the deal there with that. So, yeah. Lorianne, are you still here? I think we lost Lorianne. Lorianne dropped. Yeah. All right. Well, Christian, thank you for calling in and everybody. And that is the end of tonight's live broadcast. And so we'll be back next week. And till then, this is the Alaska Patriot Network, and we're signing out. God bless, and everybody stay free, and don't give in to any of the gosh darn tyranny. All right.
Love you, Ray. Bye.
Love you.